Some call me the sage from South Central. Others call me the czar of common sense. But you can call me Larry Elder. And you're invited to join me tonight, starting at 7, right here on AM 560, The Answer.
Good morning, Dan and Amy. So Truth in Accounting, regular feature on the store on the show, has put out a new report on the essentially the financial stability of the 75 most populous cities in the country. And I'm trying to think, what is the common thread here as I'm pouring through these? New York, Chicago, Philly, Baltimore, Tucson, Detroit, getting into 27, Omaha, 33, Virginia Beach, Columbus. Oh, 38.
Why are we?
30, because I'm trying to find a city that's where there's a Republican mayor in the top 75. Oh. And I have to go all the way down to 38, San Diego.
You mean San Diego?
Yes.
We won't say what it means.
Right. So it's just interesting. You know, you just look for the controls, the points in common, the things that are characteristic of cities that are similarly situated, like, say, New York and Chicago. But they look at taxpayer burden and what that indicates about the cities. And, again, I'm on the board of Truth in Accounting here in Illinois, so factor that in. However you see fit, full disclosure, unlike, say, senior leadership at the FBI, full transparency. As we're now joined by the founder of Truth in Accounting, she is Sheila Weinberg. Sheila, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me again.
And so the latest, greatest report, I'm trying to recall the last iteration of this report, and I don't see it the worst offenders when it comes to taxpayer burden. I don't see a lot of positive movement from the New Yorks and the Chicagos and the Philadelphias, but particularly New York and Chicago, because there's quite a drop off from New York and Chicago to the rest of the cities in the report.
Yeah, and our study, again, we do it per taxpayer burden. That's the amount of money the cities need to pay. The taxpayers are going to have to pay to come up with to get the government back onto a sound footing. And each taxpayer's share in Chicago is $45,200. But the good news is New York is worse. It's actually $62,500.
All right, so Amy, you got to write a check for $135,600 to the city of Chicago to rep for you, Peyton, and Eli.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
No, I mean, Sheila, I have to tell you, I got my, because it's tax time, and looked at, what was escrowed in for my mortgage, and I pay more in taxes than I'm actually paying down for the principal. And it is mind-numbing. And I think a lot of people are having sticker shock right now because everybody's property taxes went up, and there's always the fear of it going up again. Do you see that happening in the near future?
Well, again, if you're in so much debt, you're going to have to pay it somehow. And unfortunately, a large part of the debt is related to pensions, which the Illinois Supreme Court has said that you can't change. So they're going to have to come up with the money somewhere. Unfortunately, it appears they're going to go back to the taxpayers to do that.
Well, as you look at these cities, and I mean, again, the drop-off precipitous from the worst offenders to some of the least in this list of 75, some even with, it looks to me like a surplus as it pertains to taxpayer burden. But besides being run by Democrats or lorded over by Democrats, what are some of the other characteristics in common among those cities with the highest per taxpayer burden?
Well, we find, that their budgeting is flawed. And with most of those cities where they go ahead and promise benefits, especially pension benefits, without paying those and putting money aside to fund those. So the largest problem is just getting them to do their budgets right. So, again, the mayor has, the current mayor and the previous mayor have always said, hey, our budget's balanced. We're meeting the state requirement. The citizens thought everything was fine, and now all of a sudden, bang, have this huge debt, and it's because of the flawed accounting used to calculate the budget.
Just by comparison, so Chicago, the per taxpayer debt is $45,200. Houston, which is a city that's similar in size, right, as well as similar demographically, it's a quarter of that. It's $12,100 per taxpayer.
Really?
So, it's one of these things we talk about a lot, which is, you see some of the same problems anywhere you go, but there's something qualitatively different happening in Chicago that's not happening in the rest of the country, including major urban centers throughout the country.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny when you're a person and you have financial difficulties, it is hard to get credit. And we found it a little disheartening in the last budget deal when the state legislature decided to issue the city another credit card, ability to have another credit card by securitizing future tax revenues. Remember how we got money by giving somebody away all our property tax, our parking fees. Mm-hmm. Well, now we have given away future sales tax, so we can borrow that money now and use it now, and then what are future taxpayers going to use to pay for their services and benefits?
Where do you suggest that we cut spending?
Well, at Truth in Accounting, we go ahead and we try to get these numbers out there. I'm glad you asked the question, because now we know that you understand that there is a problem, and then we leave it up to, you know, the politicians and the citizens to decide where to cut. If I went ahead and had policy decisions, people would say, oh, well, you're making Chicago look bad because you have a certain agenda behind those numbers. And we don't have an agenda besides let's be truthful and so the citizens really know what's going on.
And with respect to pensions, since you're a financial professional, you can read these balance sheets, you understand the complications with the unfunded liabilities and the kind of shell game that's played to push off a reckoning for, you know, a day or a month or a year more. When you take a look at the city of Chicago's balance sheet, is it the unfunded liabilities with respect to, say, the police and fire pensions that are the most jarring to you, that are the greatest cause of concern, not just in terms of what needs to be paid to fund them, but also their precarious position in terms of solvency?
Yeah, what we found is, you know, that the city needs $40 billion to, that's the money they need, and to cover previous bills that have been incurred, and the largest of those bills is the pension plans at $36 billion. So that's the problem. Again, they have a balanced budget requirement, and that has a tendency to make it so they can't hide, you know. They can't. If you're writing a check, it's hard to, you know, hide that I actually wrote a physical check. But if I can promise employees benefits, the employees earn them as part of their compensation. But if I can decide whether I'm going to pay the pension plans or not pay the pension plans, the politicians have a tendency to, well, if I don't have to pay into the pension plans, I could use that money for other services or benefits that might get me reelected, or I might be able to not raise taxes until later. So let's go ahead and, you know, just not fund those pensions because
that's a tomorrow problem. Yeah, it's a tomorrow problem, and I have today opportunities. Right? No, I get that. $36 billion in unfunded pension liabilities. That's about almost five times the city's annual budget. Give us scenarios in which you could ever pay up on those unfunded obligations. I mean, what are we talking about in terms of our policy options without making a recommendation?
Well, the mayor has taken, you know, some good steps where, you know, I know you guys hate taxes, but, you know, he's gone ahead and raised taxes to, you know, to try to generate enough money to pay for these. But again, he's going to have to, you know, there are a couple funds that haven't been, he raised taxes for some of the pensions, but there are still more pension plans that need more funding. You know, raising property taxes, you know, is an idea, you know, is what he's done, and they're going to have to, you know, you need to bring more money in or take less money out, and they haven't, they haven't come up with a lot of good ways to take less money out.
Yeah, as our mutual friend Ed Bachrach, who's done a lot of great work in the pension reform space, has said, it's either pay up or dry up. That's where we're at, and that's what's going to happen to those pensions, and I don't think you have a lot of politicians in this state or city being honest about that. She is Sheila Weinberg. She's the founder and CEO of Truth in Accounting, truthinaccounting.org, and also statedatalab.org. Sheila Weinberg, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And she joined us on our turnkey.pro answer.